Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
What am I going to do? Just wait for you to do it?
That is just creepy.
We're slacking. In 2 days, no pictures.
There's going to be a news story on it.
All right, well, I didn't know that. All I knew is when the push came to shove, when the chips were down, your priorities were in the wrong place.
Yeah, you still have a working vehicle, my friend.
Yeah, it's true. All right. Hey, it's 53 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of May, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a party listening day, live from the plushly appointed and not really ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We are here, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. It is Tuesday. If you are back at work, back in front of your radio, we are glad to have you back. We were here yesterday doing our memorial. If you missed yesterday's program, we'll give you many of yesterday's themes will be revisited and recapped today.
It was a showcase of stars.
It really was. It was an unbelievable radio event yesterday, but apparently we're just not done talking about some of it. Just going to continue to wring every moment of radio entertainment we can out of our sad, shallow, meager little existences. It's 503-733-2970. You want to email 503-733-2970, rather, if you want to call. And if you want to email, it is rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. It wasn't like I sat outside with, like, a Nikon.
So you went by when you knew I wasn't home at my house and took pictures of my car.
It's not because I knew... Okay, you're making it sound all creepy, baby.
Yeah, that is creepy.
It wasn't like I knew you weren't home. I was headed there anyway. As it turns out, you were not there. And
you were heading over... Why would you go over to my house without talking to me?
I was out on a bike ride, and I thought, hey, that's Sarah Dillon. Her car's been destroyed. 2 days, no photos of it. Look, let me just tell you this. When I destroyed my... When I tore the door off my Sentra, when I did the Tommy Boy, and just tore the driver's side door, first thing I... Well, after I made sure that it wasn't going to roll over that kid that was walking behind me. After saving children from an early grave, first thing I did, took out the camera. Took some photos of it. Why? Because the people want to see. It's going to be a photographic record of such things.
Well, no. Coin News 6 actually just finished filming my car, and they're going to have a story about the incident.
We'll tell you more about that.
What's the story concern?
Later on. All in the proper order.
That was a guarantee.
Don't give away too much in the tease.
Well, we're going to go with the story because the biggest fear is in this room.
All right, fellas, the fear is right here in this room. All right. Well, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian is going to be with us today. Not really a Sopranos recap as such, because it is a cheap-ass marathon of three episodes that nobody really cares about anyway. Is your shirt on inside out?
No, the tag. It's a big neck, so the tag keeps flipping. I just need to cut off the tag.
Yeah, because it looks like you can't dress yourself properly.
I know Carol already tried to correct it.
Looks like you're one of those kids with the big buttons and the Velcro shoes. All right. So Peter Carlin's going to be here. Not really a Sopranos recap, but the so-called final episode of The Sopranos is coming up on Sunday. They're going to do it. It's like a season split, and they're going to do eight more, which will be the end of the series in January. But the final episode of this part of this season, so confusing. The quasi finale is coming up on Sunday, so we'll talk about that and the possibility of a Sopranos feature film as well. Peter Carlin will be here later on. He will make pithy and cutting comments about all manner of things and people. Dennis Pitzenberger is going to be in the studio later on from the Portland Tribune, and he can talk. I don't know anything about. You got some rental car? Is that what are you driving now? I don't know.
I just got it this morning. I haven't driven it yet.
What is it?
It's a Ford 500.
Don't even know what that is.
It's so fancy.
It's huge.
It's enormous. And I was...
Are you now the reason they hate us?
I am.
Yeah. Is it an SUV?
No. It's this, the guy who I met, JD. He was really nice, and we ended up chatting, and the girl told him to go down and grab a clean car. He's like, well, this is a clean one. It's not the size that you see. He's like, I'll just go ahead and give you this, but
what
for
is
the
it?
Same price. It's, I don't know, it's a big four-door bohemian thing. Yeah.
All right.
It's brand new and smells really good.
All right.
It has a CD player.
Just living the life of Riley. All right. We got the Week in Geek coming up later on with Aaron Duran. We'll recap kind of things that happened yesterday, and we continue our countdown to 666 and horns across the Hawthorne. If you haven't yet, I encourage you right now, nay, I beseech you, to go to rickemerson.com and check out the Horns Across the Hawthorne logo, which is created by Roger Bridges, one of our listeners. He created it out of the goodness and the kindness of his heart, and send it along. You can find out more at rickemerson.com, or you go to myspace.com/rickemerson. There's a whole entry about it. Later on today, we will have a FAQ up. We are now 1 week away from Horns Across the Hawthorne. We are going to assemble to take the greatest photograph of your lifetime, a photograph that future generations will ponder and stare at and envy for all of their days. And you'll have a chance to be part of that, and then also they'll be drinking and the spinning of the pentagram of prizes. So that is 1 week away. We will be talking about that. Tim Riley's working on the following stories in the AM 970 Solid State Radio News Desk, City Desk kind of place.
A boring woman shoots a stalker. A Florida man saves a little puppy from an alligator's jaws of death.
Aww.
The search for Jimmy Hopper is over. And the new Batwoman's a lesbian.
All right, there you go. That's the reason people tuned into this very fine radio program. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Just to give context to this, to what we were talking about as the microphones went on earlier today. So now if you were not listening to yesterday's program, you didn't hear this. So Sarah was out on Sunday in full control of her faculties, and in no way was she intoxicated. Because, of course, we encourage responsible consumption of alcoholic beverages on the Rick Emerson Show, because your body is a temple of Jesus.
It's true, and I was also nowhere near my car.
And that is true, by the way. So you were in a place, you were at Sabala's, and you're there, you're just hanging out, and that your car is like, you were no way near your car. Your car is parked outside.
I was rejoicing at my wonderful parking spot that I got.
Now, was this on Hawthorne or on 49th?
It was right on 49th, like right as you round that bend past Sabala's and the water trough, like you take a left on 49th, and it was right there.
See, this is why I was in the neighborhood yesterday, because I told Laura about it, and then her car got smashed, and of course, immediately she had to go see it. She's like, we have to go look. So it's like a place where something, you know, it's like the place where James Dean got thrown out of the car. Like,
that's,
you gotta
a good
go
way to end a holiday weekend.
You gotta go
seriously.
Stand there. So anyway, so on Sunday night, so you're at Sabala's, you're inside, your car is parked outside.
I'm inside for literally 20 minutes at the most.
You are nowhere near your car. Somebody comes in, and it's that old thing where somebody comes in and goes, hey, somebody's car got destroyed. Everybody leave the bar now. There's chaos. And then Sarah thinks in her head, boy, I pity the poor bastard whose car got destroyed. I'm sure glad that wasn't me. And then he walks and said, don't. And so a Geo Metro proceeding at high speed down Hawthorne.
Do you have the license plate behind
you? What kind of car was it?
I have the thing. I thought it was a Geo Metro, but it's one that looks exactly. It was a Ford Aspire.
It aspires to be a Geo.
And a 94 Ford Aspire.
All right. So that car is speeding down Hawthorne. It cuts across into the oncoming lane and then slams into your car.
Shooting it backward 20 feet into a pole.
Yeah, and I took some pictures of it yesterday. And so it's which is not creepy, and just totaled your car. So Sarah Dillon is now carless, your car destroyed. And so you came in yesterday, and God bless you, you came in, you found a ride, you know, you overcame, you adapted, you improvised, you got the work, you didn't let it throw you. We did 3 hours of quality broadcast. But then yesterday came and went, and still no photos of the car. And so I figured it was incumbent upon me.
And also did a little field trip to the police department where they seemed to have not caught the people even though they have the car.
Yeah, they were all over that. They couldn't wait to help.
They have the car.
Well, we'll talk more about it. But yesterday Laura and I are out on our bike ride, and we happened to be biking through your neighborhood. And I said, well, I've got this cell phone. The car's right there. What? And your neighbors, by the way, didn't stop me, didn't care. One of the guys who lived with you was, like, looking at the front window, sees me, their photograph. I could have been for the insurance company. I could have been a hitman, for all he knows. You're trying to figure out where you sleep. So he's like, he opens the drapes or whatever, looks outside, and just kind of shrugs and goes back into eating Cheetos. So I did take a bunch of photos of your car. We can get those posted later on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 503-733-2970. Let us now go to the City Desk with Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From higher down the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, even though the Portland Police Bureau has the car that hit Sarah Dillon's car, They still haven't apprehended the people responsible.
Yeah, but,
it makes you wonder if you have to send a sexy email to the police chief.
You really,
oh, wait a minute, it's a woman. Oh, that would be something.
You totally should. You should totally file your police report with, like,
I'd love to put you
And up. Then I was in the bar wearing something clingy and low-cut. And then another car, speeding down the road, inserted itself into my car, penetrating the metal with fiery, crushing force. Over and over. You wouldn't even be done typing it and they'd be at your house. They'd be there at your house, wielding truncheons, ready to go whoop the person who hit your car.
The problem is, the police chief is a woman. Or the acting police
chief. Yeah, but I've seen pictures of her. Let's not pretend we don't know what that's about.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm desperate at this point. I'll try anything.
Just say we got our own little...
If it'll get them to investigate,
all right.
I'm all over it.
Start writing.
Okay.
I'm going to call her... Officer Batwoman, that's all I'm saying.
Well, a Montgomery County, Maryland jury has found the D.C. area sniper John L. Mohammed guilty of 6 counts of murder. We're pretending we didn't even notice that last comment.
Horrified. What? Oh, no, I'm saying she looks like she can ably fight crime.
No, we're talking about the John L. Mohammed.
Who?
This is the sniper.
All right.
No, he's guilty.
This show is just going along flawlessly. We used up all our genius yesterday. Now it's just one big disaster and a train wreck. All right, let's stop.
Well, I came up with the original idea, so I'm to blame for this.
All right, so who is this? Is this the old sniper or the young sniper? Because there was two, remember?
No, this is the older sniper.
This is the one who kidnapped the kid and fed him crackers and honey for 5 years until he was crazy and then they killed people? Mm-hmm. Yeah, good times. All right, well, it's funny how that crime just fell off the net. You know, I got to tell you, it really is, it's a difficult time.
Well, it's an unpopular crime right now.
Well, it's a difficult time to be anybody who's trying to get a little bit of a spotlight or attention. You know what I mean? Everybody talks about hard times for the record industry, difficult times for the movie industry. If you're trying to set yourself apart as a celebrity, trying to get any sort of public notice, it is difficult because there is the internet, there's all kinds of streaming media, there's the satellites, there's
the
MySpace and the drugs and the sex and the so forth. So what is with serial killers? Do you remember, I mean, it was just like a short 2.5 years ago, right, when the D.C. sniper thing was happening? We cared about it. We talked about it every day. It was the biggest story in the world. Now nobody remembers who they are.
Well, you know, serial killers have a short shelf life.
That's not true, though. That's only true recently. Think about this. Sarah, can you give me the real name of the BTK killer in Wichita, Kansas? No, see, nobody knows.
Nobody cares.
I don't even really remember. And yet Charles Manson, who killed no one, everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows the Boston Strangler. Everybody knows, John Wayne Gacy.
Didn't Charles Manson, in fact, kill people?
Charles Manson killed no one. It's a little known legal fact. Killed no one. I'm not crazy. He didn't kill anybody. He had the weird-looking hippie girls to do that for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole weirdness about that, is like he actually killed nobody. It's like he just kind of said, you should go kill. I say that all the time. How many times have I been on the air going, you know who should be killed? You know what I mean? They're probably saving a cell for me somewhere right now.
I mean, they were just shaking their butts in front of lava lamps, doing what they were told to do.
Seriously. They were just sitting there going, oh, it's so groovy, man. And he was like, yes, it is groovy. Now go hack someone up. And then they went off and did it. Mm-hmm. My point is...
He's like an Amway salesman.
I don't understand why today's program is going the way it is, but my point is, it used to be easy to get attention as a serial killer. Take Ed Gein, for example. You know, Ed Gein...
You are so obsessed with him.
Ed Gein, he's the greatest
he's
of all...
He's under dancing his mother's skin, right?
He is, underneath the pale moonlight. He is...
He's the gold standard of serial killers.
He really is. Although there are people who dispute that he's a serial killer. Our former 1080 girl, Grace, disputes that he's a serial killer because... Serial killing, according to the Quantico, that FBI place, or the Silence of the Lambs place, where the FBI, where they track the serial killers, they apparently, according to them, you have to kill 3 people to be a serial killer. So, technically speaking, Ed Gein, not a serial killer. I have some point here.
I have some more crime if you want to hear about it.
Okay, but my only point is that it used to be really easy to be a serial killer and to get attention, and everybody knew who you were. Now, D.C. Sniper, they killed like 13 people. Nobody remembers who they are. I'm just saying these are difficult times for serial killers.
Yeah, they got to try a little harder.
No, they shouldn't. That's exactly what they should not do, Tim Riley. In no way. They should try harder to be good and virtuous, and to kill no one.
I was just playing devil's advocate. Seeing as we're getting closer to 6606.
Good segue.
Thank you.
Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, a 911 call from a boring woman reported that a man who had been harassing her broke into her residence and her boyfriend shot the intruder multiple times. Happened at 2:30 this morning. Clackamas County Sheriff's officials said the man told them the intruder had been stalking her. She said the man physically forced his way into her residence, so that's that. The FBI wrapping up its two-week search of a suburban Detroit farmhouse after finding no trace of Jimmy Hoffa's remains. He disappeared back in 1975, and they've been at the Hidden Dreams Farm, which is 20 miles from Detroit, on land once owned by Hoffa associate Ronald McMaster. So that's that. The FBI has not revealed the cost of this search.
All right. Now, I read somewhere that it was like $750,000. We all knew they weren't going to find anything. We said that 2 weeks ago. It is, as I said, it is like every time today. We have the answer to why cattle mutilations have. No one knows. No one ever going to find out. It's never going to be figured out. Never going to be discovered. He's never going to be found. Just like D.B. Cooper. I hope against hope that they will find out the answer. They never will. It is just the money right down the toilet.
Well, yesterday, a 25-year-old soldier from Oregon was fatally shot in Iraq. Jeremy Lovelace was an advanced combat medic in the U.S. Army. He died after being shot in the chest in Mosul. He was born in Albany, raised in Gresham, and most recently with Nesta Kidawi, who's a volunteer firefighter. Meanwhile, CBS television news correspondent Kimberly Dozier has undergone a second round of surgery at a Baghdad hospital after being injured in a roadside blast that killed four people, including two fellow journalists in her crew and a U.S. soldier.
Wait, so this is all, is this all in Iraq?
Yeah,
Jeremy Lovelace, this is in Iraq too?
This is all Iraq, yeah.
And was he, I mean, not that it really matters, but was he in the National Guard or was he enlisted in one of the other military branches?
It doesn't say here. I would imagine so.
So dumb that I even have to ask these questions. This was like action. Was this in combat with Iraqis, or was this in one of those military deaths that they're not quite sure why it happened?
He was a paramedic. He was a paramedic, and it said he was shot in the chest in Mosul. So we have this CBS newswoman who's in critical condition, Kimberly Dozier. It says CBS producer in Baghdad describes her wounds on the CBS Evening News Monday.
She was hit pretty badly to her lower body, her legs. And I believe she was received a shrapnel wound to her head.
Now, CBS News anchorman Bob Schieffer says CBS knows how many families of American servicemen and service people feel.
This is just a reminder of what these families are going through. All of those 2,600 who have died, all of those 18,000 who have been wounded. We're experiencing here at CBS News today what each and every one of those families has experienced. And that's why we're going to try to tell this story as best we can.
Now, what was it? She was over there for CBS television news?
Yeah.
This is no way. I mean, maybe it makes me less of a broadcaster or a journalist or something, but I did it. And maybe
it was a roadside blast. Four people dead.
Damn. I mean, maybe it's just a function of this war as opposed to other military conflicts, but there is not enough money in the world. There, in no conceivable reality, would I be over there. I mean, more guts in their big toe than I have in my entire body. There's no way you get me over there. In no conceivable reality.
Meanwhile, the Bush administration is fending off four questions about what happened in the Iraqi town of Haditha. The Pentagon is investigating claims that U.S. soldiers killed at least two dozen civilians there in November. White House spokesman Tony Snow refused to speculate while the investigation is underway.
We need to find out what the facts are. Everybody wants to find out what happened. I mean, that's the first thing. You want to find out what happened. I mean, we've all seen sort of the same stuff leaking out, but keep in mind you're getting little pieces here and little pieces there. We're going to get a full picture.
We want all the big pieces.
This is a story that they continue. I hate to be doing the White House's job for them, but this is a story they keep talking about in the media as though anybody in America cares about it, and no one does. I'm not saying it's not a terrible thing, it is, but I'm just saying that the political reality is that no one knows, no one cares. I tell you right now, you go to a Walmart and you pull the first 500 fat people that you find, and nobody will know what this story is. And they're all fat, by the way. So no one there.
If it was posted at the snack counter, they'd know it.
No one. If this was affecting the price of a slushie at the front, you know what I mean? Or if like those big, stretchy fat pants were somehow going to be more expensive, then they'd know what you were talking about. Then it would have personal relevance to them. Until that point, the average American, even I don't know. And I'm a moderate, grade news junkie. And I only vaguely understand. Is this some sort of Meli kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Is that basically... Whole lot of spreading democracy the America way.
Yeah, it's what Murtha started this whole thing about a week ago.
All right, so there you go. So more great news from Iraq today.
Meanwhile, the president announced this morning that Treasury Secretary John Snow is resigning, but nobody cares about that.
All right.
Hey, tempers are rising along with gas prices. Gas stations around the country report that drivers are taking out their gas rage against big oil by yelling at clerks and making some cry.
That's fantastic.
In Los Angeles, Chevron gas station owner Anthony Sinai has started giving away free sodas to customers who pump $20 worth of gas. He wants to avoid a repeat of an incident last year when an upset customer threw a cup of coffee at a female clerk and knocked over some display items.
There's something immensely satisfying about seeing the country just come apart at the seams, just seeing the fabric starting to decay away like that. Making a clerk cry. And that's where? That's in the South?
That's in Los Angeles.
Okay, because there was some story about that in Georgia too. Ed McCarthy, our man in Atlanta, is on vacation this week. But when he returns, we're gonna double fist the Ed McCarthy news, because we're gonna get the Hoffa news on him, and then I will get the gas rage news as well. I don't mean to be that guy, but you know, it's not that I don't ever drive. But I mean, especially when it's nice outside, you know, I try to.
Only when you're taking pictures of other people's
as often as possible. No, I even bicycled to that. I bicycled to Sarah's car yesterday to take photos of it. Man, your car's all messed up, by the way.
Yeah.
You said it was kind of effed, but I didn't really appreciate the gravity of it, because your car was made out of fiber. A lot of it was fiberglass.
Oh, it's a Saturn. Yeah, it's plastic.
Yeah. And so the car. Mm-hmm. So. I mean, I guess the good news is it didn't really crumple. It just cracks. It's sort of like
it kind of snaps.
Yeah, it's like when you put something. It's like when you put something in the freezer that's not supposed to. It's like when you put a beer in the freezer and then it just sort of expands, and then it just blows apart.
There's no way to repair that.
No, because if you got
to. Because I'd have to buy an entire new cover for my car.
You basically drive a funny car, you know, like they drive like in the races where it's just the engine underneath and like the whole body goes on as one piece.
Yep.
So you've got this huge crack on the passenger side, and then the driver's side, you've got the whole corner, recapping in case you didn't see it, like, you know, as you left the house this morning. You got this whole driver's side corner's all trashed. It's no good. But my car is exactly the same way, though, when I hit that BMW. It's like, it's metal, but it's all, the whole front is one gigantic panel. You know, and then there's one huge panel on the side. And so it's like as soon as I dented even a little bit of it, they're like, well, this is all going to have to come off. And I don't know anything about cars. So, of course, I'm in no position to argue with them. You know, it's you and I are in the same boat when you go in and you know, well, how much are you going to be to fix this? The guy looks and goes, it'll be $94,000. You're like, okay, just you take MasterCard. You know, what am I going to say? No, I'll do it myself. I am not one of those guys that, like, you're gonna like it's gonna be in the garage with the hammer, like pounding it out from the inside or something. It's not gonna happen. But so I filled up the car yesterday because I just haven't driven it for a while. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk on this show about remember when and back years ago and when I was a boy. But thank you. But do you remember way back like 3 months ago when I could put like $20 in the car and it went to like the 3-quarter mark? Not so much now.
It's the 1-quarter mark now.
Well, because I usually pay with plastic because it's less painful that way. You know what I mean?
A big check once a month.
That's what I mean. It's like I did. The guy comes by and he's like, cash your card. I'm like, put it on the card, please. And it's like I sign it. I don't even look at it. I try to avert my eyes from the number. You know what I mean? And then, like when the credit card statement, I really, attention thieves, I am the perfect candidate for credit card fraud, because when the credit card bill comes, I don't look. I don't itemize because I don't want to know. Like, I don't want to know how much money I've spent on gas. I don't want to know how much money I've given to Quiznos over the course of like a 3-week period. Doesn't matter. So very rarely do I use cash. Man, yesterday, $20 bill over, guy pumps it, needle moves like a quarter of the way up, makes me want to kill myself.
Is he done? Well, I guess he is.
Siri, and then he's walking away. All right, you's all ready to go now. You know, and I'm like, but I don't have any. Nah, crap. You know, just
happy motoring to you too.
Seriously. Rick, perhaps Sarah can tell her therapist her car was wrecked and she has a sore neck. Maybe her therapist can rub her shoulders in a loving and lingering fashion. Have Sarah report back how it feels, please. Use all applicable details. There you go.
Okay, have it next week.
When is your next therapy session? Next when?
The day after Horns Across the Hawthorn.
Woo! All right, so next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Might need a double.
Yeah.
I need a 2-hour session.
I don't think so.
Next Wednesday. Yeah, you got lots. You got, getting up at 3 a.m. every morning, having to be perky on command. This whole dumb show you have to be part of. Car gets destroyed. I'm inadvertently ruining your boyfriend's life all the time. So it's just a whole.
Been a while.
So, well,
been a week.
It's only 12:25.
Yeah.
Let's take a break now. That was unpleasant. Take a break. Here's what's coming up. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be here. Later on, we got Peter Carlin is going to talk to us about the upcoming Sopranos quasi-finale. It's coming up on Sunday. Dennis Pitzenbacher with the Portland Tribune is going to be here. We'll talk about Horns Across the Hawthorne. We've got The Week in Geek coming up and this week's Inquirer. You stay right there. It's a Rick Emerson show. Don't go anywhere. In no way will I use his name. That is the best phrase ever. I think we ought to start charging for some sort of special version of this program where we don't cut away during commercial breaks. So you can hear the crap that comes out of Sarah's mouth.
Out of my mouth.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay, here's... appropriately edited for the radio. Here's a phrase that just came out of Sarah's mouth. Referring to someone who shall not be named ever. A male person. A person of the male gender who in no way will be named or identified. Sarah said, I believe he wants to be my special friend because... No, because... Hold on, I gotta get through this. Sarah said, I believe he wants to be my special friend because I have the bad girl vibe that he craves. Ugh.
That was a joke, by the way.
I don't believe it.
That was a joke.
I think it's probably
like,
true.
I only let you say it because it was a joke.
But you do have the bad girl vibe.
No, I'm a very well-scrubbed, nice girl.
You're only well-scrubbed on the inside.
Yeah.
Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Got a breaking story here. Haley Berry has broken her toe during a promotional tour for X-Men.
Oh, no!
The actress reportedly tripped in a French airport while returning from the Cannes Film Festival.
I hate her.
Just the latest in a line of calamities. First, she was struck down by a food allergy, which caused her to break out in spots.
That's fantastic.
Then, the unfortunate incident took an immediate turn for the worst when a nurse mistakenly injected Haley with an overdose of allergy drugs, which caused her to pass out. I went down to the infirmary, and I got a big whopping shot of Benadryl, and it put me to sleep for 4 hours in some Admiral stateroom.
Okay. And then she broke her toe doing what?
She was she was walking around the airport. She doesn't really tell exactly how.
Tragedy for all of us.
Meanwhile, Ben Affleck in his home state of Massachusetts to direct a movie directed himself to the nearby Mount Auburn Hospital today. A friend said he was suffering from an unrelenting migraine headache.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Ortiz was a patient in the waiting room when Affleck walked in.
I was ready to get out my gurney just to get an autograph, but I gave him the respect. I said, you know, let the guy be.
Just give Ben Affleck all the respect that comes with being Ben Affleck now in 2006. There you go. All right, here's 503-733-2970. Other reviews of the Steven Seagal show continue to pour in. I got another one here that we'll get to in a few. Yesterday we had our good friend Siegfried review the Steven Seagal blues legend performance at Dante's. And then we had Marisa, who won 2 tickets for the show on Friday. She called and we got another Steven Seagal review that we'll get to in just a few. Is this our man Jim Roop? Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show live from the City of Angels. Jim Roop! How are you, sir?
All right, man. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever it may be, wherever you are.
Hey, a Steven Seagal blues legend played Los Angeles, to the best of your knowledge?
No, I don't think he's ever played. No.
You gotta go see him. Apparently, it's a show not to be missed, Jim Roop.
Where is he playing?
I have no idea. I would imagine in someone's living room, perhaps, or maybe if you've got an attic. Some sort of a guest room added onto your house. You'll probably play there.
Club is what you're saying.
What's that?
An intimate
venue. Yes, we think the band's appeal has become more selective.
Steven Seagal unplugged.
He was just here, and apparently somebody described him as looking like an Easter Island statue made out of ham.
Well, he was there.
You remember last week we had him.
Got him on the phone.
Via phone, or they claimed that it was him anyway. He sounded sort of like I imagine Abe Vigoda sounds early in the morning.
Right.
Just sort of a Like, just the effort to open his mouth is just so overpowering that he barely has any oxygen left to form the words. And then he went on stage, and he did what all soul-lacking white men do. He went on stage with a huge black band behind him, which is a trick that everybody started stealing from Mick Jagger years ago. You know what I mean? It's like, if you are soul deficient, go and find, like, a fantastic band made of black musicians in the South, have them stand behind, and then it's like through osmosis. You are hoping that some of their soul will sort of spill on to your pasty white visage.
I understand.
I do not believe it was successful in the case of Steven Seagal. They said that he looked like, I'm quoting now a couple of these phrases, yes, Easter Island statue made out of ham, looked like a bobblehead of himself, looked like some sort of martial arts weeble. Steven Seagal wobbles, but he does not fall down or play blues well, says this email. So there you go. So I'm just saying, if he comes there, it's an opportunity not to be missed. Jimmy.
Yeah, I can't not. So let me stay on top of that one. Then.
Yeah, you.
I wonder if I get a hold of his people, if he has any people left. Someone can tell me what's going on with him.
I think he has one guy whose job it is to prop up the phone next to him and wipe the spittle off his chin while he does interviews. And then I'm assuming just a shovel, large, like glutinous globs of food into his mouth. That'd be my guess. That was the best Steven Seagal impression I've ever heard.
I interviewed him, remember? We talked about that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Mr. Seagal, how are you?
Can I get some more potatoes?
What if we ever get to interview Don Rickles?
Have you interviewed Don Rickles?
Yes, I have.
Really? When was this?
In fact, this was just last year.
Really? So he would...
That's a rarity.
Here's why we ask Jim Rupi in a stunning segue.
I can get him again, probably.
Good. Now, because he is coming to the, he's coming here to the, is it Chinook Winds?
Chinook Winds.
Chinook Winds Casino.
Next weekend.
And we're going to be giving away some ticks to that, as they say. We're going to be giving away tickets to see Don Rickles. I'm going to the show myself. But we're trying to set this interview up with him.
Who are you working with?
I don't know, some guy.
Paul Jeffron?
Some guy chomps a cigar, has suspenders, says things like, you know, you guys get out of this office right now. I don't know. All my knowledge of that world comes from Broadway Danny Rose. So, apparently, we tried to book Don Rickles for an in-studio interview with us, and the response we got back was, and I'm quoting now, Don Rickles hasn't gone to a radio station in 30 years, and he will not be starting with you.
Yeah, he does phoners.
Yeah, that was it. So,
yeah.
So we're working on getting a phoner. But he's 80 years old. I just found that out. He's 80 years old this year. And you got to admire a guy who's still out there doing it at 80.
Yeah, yeah. So, I can give you his guy's number if you want it.
That's fantastic. When this is done, I may have you give that to Sarah.
Okay.
All right. So when you interviewed Don Rickles last year, he was 79. Now, is he still...
Very funny.
Still with it? Still had it?
Absolutely.
That's great.
Very funny. And he... It's not the typical hockey puck stuff. I mean, he's just witty. Even at 79 years old or 80 years old.
So it's not just like the canned one-liners. I mean, he's a legitimately funny guy.
Yeah, because he was just beginning a gig in Vegas or Branson or somewhere. And I got an opportunity to talk with him. It was great.
That's
fun.
That's fantastic. I mean, you got to... Just the fact that that guy who could have retired like 25 years ago and just sat around and made his living writing books about, you know, the time that he, you know, whatever, you know, was at a urinal next to Frank Sinatra. I mean, that's his thing, right? I mean, that's one of the ways that Rickles made his name, is that he was one of the first guys kind of allowed to insult Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
He's still out there doing it. You got to get. I think hate keeps you young and healthy, Jim Roop. That's the lesson we can draw from
it. It releases a lot of stress. You know, you don't have a heart attack. You know, it's everything's great.
That's what I'm saying.
Blow off steam.
Hey, so you're down there in this, we've talked before about the Californication of the country, where what happens there, then eventually happens here.
Uh-oh.
So there's this language proposal they're doing now. I've been talking to Lisa Goddard about this. The Congress trying to push through this English as a national language thing, which is going to screw you guys, because you got like 150 different languages in L.A.?
According to Mayor Photo Op, 130.
I can't even, it's like I tried to list them all in my head, and I stopped at like 8. Like I couldn't even, I can't even fathom there's 130.
Well, I'll call his office and say, can I get a list of those?
Please do. I would be curious to see such a list. So L.A.'s probably
there are 130 countries?
I don't know, dude. I'm one of those Americans that's like, many Americans cannot even find Syria on a map. I am that American. I can barely find my own state on a map. It doesn't matter. I don't care about it.
All you got to learn is turn down that leaf blower in 130-something languages, and that's really all you need to know.
That and driver carries no cash.
Yeah.
You're sitting, L.A.'s not going to be the cotton of this 130 languages everybody having to speak English thing. That's not going to go over well there.
Well, that's what the mayor here is saying. He says, you know, first of all, it may hamper the ability for people to communicate to the point where emergency providers can't communicate with people who need something.
Right.
You can always point to what hurts. I mean, that probably would help, but you can't communicate. I don't know that it matters that much that proposal's in this immigration legislation anyway. I mean, everyone knows, even the mayor admits, the language of success in commerce is English. So I think most people who have an IQ above room temperature will learn the language.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong.
Can operate the leaf blowers.
I have said for the longest time that English, and I do believe this, that English really ought to be the national language. Things would be a lot. You know, it's like the world of computing. It's like the world of everything else. When there is a common standard, everything becomes easier. And you know, English is already the international language of commerce. It is the international language of finance. It is the international language of stock exchange. You go to every air traffic control building in the world, they are required to know English. That's the only language they're required to know. So it would be a lot easier. But I mean, it's just one of those cities where it's like they just any opportunity to start marching and breaking things.
Yeah, I think people are worried we're going to wind up like Canada, where there's two national languages. You know, if we don't specify which language is truly the official language of this country, we'll have half of it speaking Spanish and the other half speaking English.
Yes,
Armenian or whatever.
Because God knows it's not like that now. Thank God we're not in a country now where half the people speak Spanish and half the people speak English. If we're not careful, we'll end up with 100% literacy in national health care. We gotta really watch out for that.
I mean, I have to take I have three kids, but my 8-year-old son, who speaks Spanish very well, I take him with me so I can order a sandwich, for heaven's sake.
No, I got to say that one of the things that I really regret, actually, is, I mean, again, I do believe that we should have English as a national language, but at the same time, I really believe that schools ought to mandate that you learn Spanish. I really regret that they didn't teach me Spanish when I was a kid, because I think people ought to speak English, but there's so many situations I get into, especially, you know, you do certain parts of Oregon or you go to California, where it's like, if you don't speak Spanish, you got nothing.
I ended up with a bag full of ketchup and no food the other day at a Wendy's drive-up.
That's apparently what you ordered.
I mean, seriously, like, how? So I am hamstrung constantly by being, and of course, once you hit like 25, you can never learn another language. Your brain just turns to concrete. You know what I mean?
I mean, I took German in high school. What the hell good is that doing?
That's the thing. I took German as well. Why did they stop me? That's my question about high school. I took German because I don't know why, because I was a misfit kid, and you know, and it just seemed like something different than everybody else was doing, because everybody was taking Spanish except for me, except for girls who all take French. Girls all take French because they want to meet a man with a pencil-thin mustache. Kids take Spanish if they're poor students, because they are taught that it's an easy language to learn, which is fairly true in some ways. I took German because I got to be different than everybody else. I don't know why the school did not step in and say, why you take... Talk about a useless freaking class that will never benefit you anywhere ever.
That's sort of those languages, isn't it?
Seriously,
out of your throat?
It's like learning Sanskrit. What is the point?
You know what it does for me? Is when I watch those great World War II movies like The Great Escape or something, I can understand what those guys are saying.
I can't, man. I couldn't ask for water to be thrown at me if I was on fire. I in no way can I speak any German at all.
Well, it hasn't done me any good either.
All right. Well, there you go.
speak Spanish.
Thus ends today's Kvetschfest.
Yeah.
Yiddish, that's what they ought to mandate that you learn in schools. Everybody ought to speak Yiddish. This world would be a better place then.
Yes, it would.
All right,
what
Jim Roop.
What is this supposed to be about?
I have no idea. Oh. Jim Roop, thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. That's Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Oh, can you get that to... I guess he's going to give you the info for... Oh, now he's gone. He'll remember. He'll remember in like 2 hours that he was supposed to give us Don Rickles' info. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Well, the Jolie Pitt baby is getting too much attention, we think. And Gwen Stefani is jealous and wants the world to know she, too, has a healthy baby. It's a boy. She's married to Gavin Rossdale, The baby was born at Cedars-Sinai, and it weighs 7.5 pounds.
Okay, here's what I hope for the, the Gavin Rossdale and Gwen Stefani? Here's what I hope. I hope that the baby ends up being stunningly unfashionable and ugly. I don't do that because I dislike the baby in any way. I don't know the baby. The baby's
done. You love
done.
Babies.
The babies, they are America's greatest natural resource. It's just that they are almost an off-puttingly attractive couple. You know what I mean? That Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale are together. The two of them are so stylish and attractive that it's almost angering. So I just hope the baby ends up being really awkward and with like a third eye somehow, and wears a lot of plaid around the house just to sort of annoy her. Gwen Stefani is one of those women that I think a lot of people used to really like, and now everybody's sort of shifting towards the hate column, and I don't really know why. I don't know why it is, can't really explain it, can't quantify it, can't justify it in any way. But there's, every celebrity in America has a sort of, I don't know, kind of a tote board, a sort of shifting scale of whether Americans like them or not. And that there are celebrities where for no readily discernible reason, all the momentum shifts to the hate them side. So it is with Gwen Stefani right now. It's in the process of happening. Come back in 2 years, everybody will wish her dead.
Yeah, I stopped liking her.
I don't know.
She failed me up. Yeah, after...
She let you down.
She did, especially
after...
She
sold out.
She had all those little Asian girls following her around, and then she would all have these articles about how vain she was. Mm. It was just a little too over the top.
Hey, did you ever find out if that topless photo of her was real?
It isn't real.
Oh.
A really good Photoshop.
That's too bad. Here's Tim Riley.
Another baby story. Doctors in Shanghai are considering surgery options for a baby born with an unusual well-formed third arm.
That's on my website, by the way. You go to rickemerson.com right now. Picture of the three-armed baby. It's completely real.
He's got a career in fast food, if anyone... So they're arguing, I guess in China... They do all kinds of weird things.
Think how many jobs you could outsource to that kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you go to rickemerson.com right now, by the way. Picture of the three-armed baby.
And still more baby stories. This is the premiere of a brand new countdown. This is Countdown to 666, a brand new feature that we're just beginning at this very moment.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the Rick Emerson Countdown to 666.
A woman in England due to give birth on 666 is fighting with her hospital to induce her sooner to avoid delivering the baby on that demonic date. Melissa Parker, who's 30, said as a fan of the Omen movie about a demonic child, she's generally concerned about the numerology involved. I'm terrified the birth will go wrong or the child will have evil in him or her.
I'm terrified that I'm not getting enough attention or spotlight on me because I'm pregnant already and so I have to yammer my big fat British trap to the news.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
Even worse, my beautiful baby could be called the devil himself, the Antichrist.
Yes, that's a real risk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, doctors say that that's a distinct possibility.
The figure 666 is mentioned in the Bible, and various cultures believe it represents the date the Antichrist will appear on Earth. And that doesn't hold any water with the Royal Berkshire Hospital.
No one believes that. There's no one anywhere. Not even Clyde's people believe that. Not even Dina DeCastro believes that. And she believes that Cheetos are some alien life form sent here by creatures from Venus. This is made up news. This is fabricated news.
This is the best kind.
About a fabricated story. About fabricated belief systems. No one believes this. But I will tell you this, that we are now, what is it, we're 7 days away? Is it a week from today?
I believe it is.
It is next Tuesday, because that's when we're doing Horns Across the Hawthorne. And if you were not listening to yesterday's program, by the way, you missed out on a fantastic series of entertaining hours of radio broadcast. We'll recap some of that later. But yesterday, you can tell, and granted, Clyde brings some of this out of the audience. Clyde is sort of, he's kind of a magnet for unconventional belief systems. And so, Clyde, he does sort of draw out a little bit of a little bit of a fringe element, one might say. And so yesterday is a week away, Ida, but you can already tell that over the next week we're going to be plagued by these numerology, the horoscope, Jean Dixon idiots all over the news. All over the news everywhere. I don't know. She's like, Jean Dixon is like the V.C. Andrews of horoscopes. She's probably been dead for 30 years. There's 1,000 monkeys in a room somewhere hitting a typewriter, knocking out her horoscopes. So, for the next week, man, it's like everybody you know, and I hate to say this, but it's probably a woman. The odds are like 80% that it's a woman, unless you're at Dante's on a Monday night. Everybody you know that yammers on about their star sign, and their moon is in the rising house with Eric Burden or whatever it is, you're going to hear about it like five times as much until this stupid thing is over. So there you go. All right, is that the end of that?
Yes, that's pretty much it.
All right, there you go. There's our inaugural edition of Countdown to 666. All right, 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, we got a gaggle of Florida stories here for you. It's two for Tuesday.
Oh, hey, you did that. That was like a weird Firefox moment with Clint Eastwood where I looked at the computer and thought Florida, and then, like, it happened. I was freaking myself out there for a second.
That's pretty good.
All right. For just a moment, you made me believe in the supernatural. I was like, I must put in my head, now I have to look over and play the Florida sounder. And then I turn my head and look, and, like, the sound effect happens. All right, you're freaking me out. All right, dude, my hands are huge.
Dateline Stewart, Florida. The deputy who was fired for using his squad car camera to tape women now wants his job back. The investigation revealed that Deputy Munsey used his dashboard camera to zoom in
Deputy
on
Deputy Munsey,
record.
He just sounds smart, doesn't he?
Well, he used his camera to record bikini-clad girls, including one showering at a public beach. Munsey is expected to go before a sheriff's review board this week and argue that he did not exploit anyone by making the tapes made in public places. The board has no authority to reinstate him. The cameras are supposed to be used for documenting drunks trying to walk the street.
It's almost hard to believe that they haven't been able to find the people who hit Sarah's car, because apparently police resources across the country are being used properly and without any sort of deviation from accepted policies and procedures.
A morning dog walk turned into a dangerous tango with an alligator for one Coral Springs man this morning.
Where did this happen?
Florida. Michael Rubin took his 6-month-old golden retriever Jasmine and his border collie Frisbee for a run near a construction site. The puppy ran ahead of Rubin to the edge of a pond. Rubin heard the dog cry. When he went to check on her, he saw the puppy's head inside an alligator's mouth.
Oh, that's no good.
Rubin jumped into the water and started beating the alligator with his fist. The reptile refused to let go and started rolling in the water with the dog still in his mouth. Reuben estimated the gator about 7 feet long. He eventually pried the dog loose and rushed her to an emergency hospital where she was treated for cuts and puncture wounds. The puppy's home and doing fine.
That should get, right now, if that guy's lacking romance in his life, he should get on the news right now. Every woman in Florida will want to date him. Guy rescues puppy, no less, from alligator. That's a guy who will have no problem filling his dance card for the next week.
It is time now for a corpse watch.
Here's your corpse watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones.
I think I'm going to have trouble with this story because it's from England.
Yeah.
And it's written in British English.
Okay, and first, before we do anything else, I'm going to post this on the website right now.
We have to know how much a stone is.
Stone is 12 pounds, I believe. Isn't a stone 12 pounds? I'm asking the guy who just asked me. I believe the last time we had this discussion, I do believe that a stone is 12. Because there is that AC/DC song.
Well, this isn't very much. No, that can't be correct, because this would come out to 264 pounds.
All right, well, we'll figure it out. All right, so you should read the story, and then I will point people towards the website where there is the visual aid posted for this, because I'm not saying that zombies really exist, mm-hmm. but if Have you seen the? Did you see the picture of this woman?
No.
Really? Hold on. I'm going to post it right now. Go ahead and read the story, Tim, while I'm posting this.
And we see a lot of women look like that around here anyway. This woman is too large to be cremated. A family has been told their dead mother could not be cremated in her home city because she is too large. Penelope Stapleton of Norwich, who died last week of a heart attack at the age of 61,
weighed
22 stone.
Okay, so 22, so a stone, I think, is 12. So that's...
comes out to 264 pounds.
That can't be right. No, she looks bigger than
Somebody's going to figure this out.
No.
Managers apologized to her family, but still told them the coffin was too large for the facilities at Norwich's Earlham Crematorium. Her donors have now arranged a cremation 120 miles away and said they were very angry. Daughter Natasha said, "I know a lot of people who are disgusted by their attitude."
Okay.
"Service not available. I want people to know what happened to us and that the crematorium's owners are not going to do anything about it. When people die, you expect to be treated with respect. You were not getting this. It's really upsetting."
All right. Have you seen the... Is the photo there? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. So
is that
look,
a woman?
It is. You know that... I mean, I'm not saying that she's an undead, brain-eating zombie. I don't know that she craves the flesh of the living. I'm just saying, if you found out that that was true, would it really surprise you? Like, if I put a photograph... Like, if I put 10 women in a lineup, including this woman, and I said, one of these people is a zombie who's going to eat you and suck out your spinal fluid as soon as your back is turned... You'd pick this woman, like 100 out of 100 people would pick this woman. You go to RickEmerson.com right now. She's right below the three-armed baby. So there's the three-armed baby up above, and then right below is linked to the zombie woman. I'm unclear about when this picture was taken, whether she was dead, whether she was just surprised. It is part of life's rich pageant that you can, you know, I mean... You picture like the most attractive woman you know. You picture like a whatever. You picture a Lindsay Lohan. You picture a Britney Spears. You picture a Jessica Alba. And then you picture this woman. It really is almost hard to fathom sometimes that they are members of the same gender, of the same species. It's either a terrifying example or a glorious example of the great diversity that Jesus has blessed us with here on...
It's Gilbert Grape's mom's twin sister.
It really is. Brains. All right. There's your corpse watch for... we should break here. There's your corpse watch back after this. Stay there.
I'm digging a bone. Digging a bone. Consuming things that's better left alone.